Welcome back to Forecast News with Millie and Afshin, where we'll be talking through some hand-picked events and anniversaries coming up around the world this week that we think you ought to know about that the mainstream media probably won't tell you. Please don't forget to subscribe, like, or comment if you're watching on YouTube. We're also available on X, Rumble, Spotify, and all the major podcasting platforms. But this is actually the final show for a few weeks, isn't it, Afshin?
Final show with you? What is this investigation you're going into this airbase? You're going near the Dimona nuclear plant to find out what's going on, I understand.
I couldn't possibly yet tell you we're going to be doing, but we'll be
away. You're going to be safe, because how am I going to do this alone anyway?
Well, I'm sure you'll be able to provide several updates in the next few weeks, which I'm sure our audience will very much appreciate, but let's
not
get
much news around in West Asia, in fairness. So I can understand why you've chosen this time to be away for how long?
Oh yeah, four, 5 weeks, something like that. We'll see. We'll be back with more. But let's start anyway with Monday this week, starting 15th of April, 2024. Now the first story, Afshin, I've got on Monday is the first day of trial in the case of four Abu Ghraib former prisoners who were suing the American multinational military contractor, CACI. Now, this has actually been several years in the making. And this was a military contractor that supplied the US interrogators of the prison where there were serious human rights abuses and the form of torture. Obviously, we saw that in Iraq in the early 2000s. I thought, though, Afshin, maybe you could remind our audience exactly what happened in the Abu Ghraib prison case. I know it's something you've covered a lot, so why don't you just remind us exactly what happened?
The Americans torturing people. You won't see this, of course, on NATO propaganda media. And the Americans tried desperately to cover up their torture in the so-called war on terror all around the world. I think, where is Avril Haines these days? She became national security advisor, or she's somewhere in there. She was supposed to be at a black site in Thailand for one of the torture camps, thanks to the great journalist Cy Hirsch, our friend.
That's right.
Who exposed the My Lai massacre. We got hold of information about how the Americans were torturing Iraqi captives. And it's notable, of course, Iraq, allied to Iran, very involved, as I understand it, in the retaliation from Iran over the weekend for the NATO-backed strike on the Iranian diplomatic facility in Damascus. And I can't believe it's taken this long. CACI, C-A-C-I, is this military contractor. And it's been thrown out 20 times as they keep on saying, oh, you know, I don't know how they managed to defend themselves against the plaintiffs, the former Abu Ghraib inmates who allege torture and have photographs to show it. The United States, of course, not being sued, just this military contractor, maybe they'll open the way forward. But, you know, justice in the United States, seriously?
Yeah, but if you remember, it was back when George Bush was president of the United States, and he condemned the abuse at the time. He apologized, but he basically blamed it on a few bad apples and said it wasn't representative of American activity. So I think 11 U.S. soldiers were convicted at the time, but obviously the problem was the military contractors who were supplying the weapons to use the torture got away scot-free, as did really the U.S. government, who were committing crimes against humanity, we can say.
But the torture, of course, continuing now in Israeli prisons as this ceasefire negotiations progress, they're torturing people. So the Palestinians allege in the West Bank, in those jails, some of them are children. And of course, it's that swap of captives from the October 7th, Israelis and thousands of Palestinians that have been held hostage de facto for years. Many of them. Lincoln was assassinated in 1865 on Monday. What a day for American torture to be discussed, because the legacy of Lincoln wasn't really about torture, was it? It was about slave emancipation. You're going to go on to the great Netanyahu, the Americans pleading with him, please don't do anything. Here's more missiles. He's with Mike Johnson at the Heritage Foundation, the foundation that backed the Abu Ghraib torture, I'd say.
Mike Johnson, the US House Speaker, we might add for people who maybe don't know who that is. Yeah, they're at an organization called a God Keeps Land, Keep God's Land, sorry, which is a, like a Christian Jewish slash Jewish organization.
Zionist. I think they believe.
Well, they vehemently reject the creation of an Arab state in Israel, don't they? So that's where.
Well, they say it's biblical prophecy, don't they? So the Jews need to take over Jerusalem, and that's a signal that the Messiah will come down and then slaughter all the Jews. I don't think they've told the Israelis the second part of that prediction or the Christian fundamental belief of the Christian Zionists. And then, of course, all good Christians will go to heaven. So Christian Zionism, very anti-Semitic. And as Tucker Carlson surprised the world with when he interviewed the pastor from Bethlehem, birthplace of Jesus, Christians being persecuted, killed with American and British, French and German military airstrikes in Gaza. People didn't know, apparently.
But this on Monday as well is amidst cabinet war meetings that Netanyahu is going to be having to try and decide on a response to Iran, who obviously launched its drones.
What an amazing strike. 300 drones as decoys. The Israeli Iron Dome goes for them and misses all the seven, was it, missiles, directly hit their targets where the F-35s were launched for the attack on the Damascus, on the consulate in Damascus. And my understanding, I don't know whether you have better sources, I've been there, the occupied Golan Heights intelligence headquarters, or at least I've been on the Golan Heights looking at it from the Syrian side, apparently completely destroyed. But of course, very difficult to get information, verified information. The Israelis going, it was a total failure. It injured a Bedouin woman.
Someone with shrapnel. I think of a few other people who were injured. No deaths as far as we
British
know.
Lord Cameron, the Foreign Secretary, British, very disappointed, said it was a complete failure. I suppose because he backed the Libyan slaughter and the failed Libyan invasion, which killed so many people. I suppose the idea of NATO people is when you retaliate, kill lots of civilians, then it's a success. That's the only way I can.
Although, in fairness to Cameron, he is very much discouraging another attack by Israel on Iran. He said Iran has already suffered a double defeat, as he might.
How is he discouraging? The British are pouring in more, selling more weapons to Israel while discouraging them.
That's right.
What is this?
Doesn't really make sense. It's kind of like saying to a child, "Oh, here, have a lollipop." No, don't eat the lollipop, but have a lollipop anyway. I insist. It's kind of, if you want to use that analogy, it's really quite ridiculous, I suppose. But at least the sentiment is there, could we say, at the very least?
Doesn't help the 14,000 children killed with British and American weaponry. Mike Johnson, I don't know whether it'll come as soon as Monday evening, the $60 billion deal for Ukraine, money to Ukraine and to Israel. But the New York Times on the Monday, the NATO propaganda outlet, is saying that the math on Ukraine doesn't work. There's no point in sending the money because they don't have any Ukrainian soldiers to actually operate the weapons, and $61 billion of American money isn't enough anyway. Even the New York Times saying that they've lost the war, the proxy war against Russia through Ukraine. Quite something, I thought.
Well, we always got to go by the New York Times, haven't we? So
absolutely. I thought you were going to mention the Google. You know, we are British, and I noticed Google being done for a $7.3 billion lawsuit in London, you know, competition malpractice. That, could Google, Alphabet, just say no more Google in Britain? What will journalists in Britain do then? The defense contractor, Google.
But it seems that there are a few trials on Monday. We've got one of the Trump trials is starting on Monday as well, or at least the jury selection is beginning on Monday, and that's regarding the Stormy Daniels payment trial. So quite a few of that going on, but Tuesday, let's go on to...
Oh, just one quick one on Monday. Of course, we were near to a nuclear explosion last week when American missiles or drones or whatever it was hit the Zaporizhia nuclear plant, the largest nuclear plant in Europe. And I understand the IAEA are going to brief the UN Security Council about how close Europe came to destruction, and Yemen to be discussed. I noticed Yemeni forces already attacking the US proxy Israel, even after the Iranian retaliation.
Yes, there's been the Security Council, right, that's discussing Yemen and the power plant, I believe, on Monday.
Yeah,
that's right.
Is it the Security Council? I don't understand this Amnesty International report on Shell and the Niger Delta, saying Shell shouldn't sell their onshore oil business. Of course, Ken Saro-Wiwa were killed by Shell, arguably.
Well, we spoke about Shell just last week with the trial.
Settled out of court.
What's going on?
No admission of anything wrong.
Yes.
Iraqi Prime Minister, you're already on to Tuesday and you're just missing the Iraqi Prime Minister. Is he actually Mohammed Shia al-Sudani, Iranian ally with Joe Biden on Monday or not?
Yes, he is due, you're right, he is due to be meeting Biden. I was going to mention something on Friday that he's doing as well. But yeah, he's going to be with Biden on Monday. I don't know that he's going to be mentioning the fact that Biden has been bombing Iraq in the past few weeks. Probably
is
not.
Is he safe? In Washington, D.C.?
I don't know, Afshin, if he's going to be mentioning the Abu Ghraib trial as well, that obviously concerns his country. So kind of strange that it's happening on the same day, really, isn't it?
Exactly. Let's see if he has any guts and he's going to mention the Abu Ghraib stain on humanity left in the United States. Of course, Biden could say, it wasn't me, it was George W. Bush that did it.
Yeah, I think it's on Friday the Iraqi Prime Minister is going to be making an address. So we'll see what he says there and if he brings any of these things up. Tuesday now, let's move on as we're about 10 minutes in already. Now, we mentioned him last week, but on Tuesday, Julian Assange, we're getting more in that case. Now, as the deadline for the US to give its assurances to the High Court that it's going to treat Julian Assange well, that he's going to be safe and that he would receive fair treatment effectively under the First Amendment. And that includes not being given the death penalty is what the court wants assurance of. Now, I think once this, once the US gives these assurances, it will then be decided whether he'll get extradited. And I believe the 20th of May is the date where they will then consider the US assurances and whether or not they believe them. I don't know. I guess they can only say so much.
That's next week. They're just extending the slow execution. Well, meanwhile, he's rotting there. The WikiLeaks team not even applied for bail. Why has the WikiLeaks team not applied for bail? I've asked them, and it's been suggested that, it'll look bad if he applies for bail. Assange is dying in a British prison. Yeah. That's what I think. And these assurances, the Tuesday deadline, we know Mike Pompeo, who ran the CIA, said, kill him. We know Hillary Clinton said drone bomb him. How can there be assurances from the United States they won't kill him when we have senior political personnel of the United States saying they'd kill him? And what is this whole court hearing when we hear from the President Biden the other day saying we're considering just chopping all this? In other the British courts are not real courts. They are not courts of justice. They're courts of injustice, clearly, and are completely slaves to the United States. What a shock. And I think British people should just, maybe unilaterally not recognize these courts, given they're shown to be unjust. What is it? High Court Judge Jonathan Swift. He has such a good name, doesn't it? Because it is so Swiftian, this type of justice. It is no justice. It is like Gulliver's Travels. I'd rather think of Tuesday as the day Lenin returned to Petrograd from Switzerland. Although, of course, Putin never likes Lenin, isn't he? Famously on record for saying that. And 1961, it's the day, Tuesday, that Castro declared he was a Marxist.
Was that a Lenin anniversary you had there? Or
1917, Lenin returned to Petrograd on Tuesday, 1917. How many years ago is that? I can't remember. Yeah.
Many years.
Many
years.
I don't remember.
Eight, something like that.
China GDP on Tuesday. There'll be loads of NATO propaganda press going, China's finished again.
Yeah, and also, have you noticed the IMF biannual report, which I'm sure everyone's going to be taking note of course.
Meetings, you going?
What's that?
Meetings, yeah, the spring meetings.
Oh, yes, the spring meetings with the IMF and the World Bank, which will apparently be providing economic outlook and predictions for the future. But as we know, the IMF is notoriously awful and has a terrible track record for making anything close to an accurate prediction
Good at torturing Global South countries.
Yeah, well, we know they're responsible for devastating many countries around the world through high interest rates, fiscal austerity, and whatnot. But I'm sure the IMF will be covered in mainstream media, though, won't it, Afshin? But I'm sure they'll be using it as a kind of a holy grail Bible of economics, and they'll be reading it, following it to the letter, I'm sure, despite the...
Andrew Bailey, that thief, the governor of the Bank of England. Governor of the Bank of England, who stole, I mean, you know, the Bank of England has stolen gold reserves from Venezuela. I don't know how much they've frozen of assets of other countries through the economic terrorist framework designed by Washington against official enemies. Andrew Bailey speaking at the IMF at the HQ1 atrium at 6 o'clock, what is that, 1 o'clock Washington time, if any Venezuelans are around to say, give us back the gold. And German economic indicator surveys on Tuesday as well, showing the deindustrialization and catastrophic impact of its slavery to Washington's proxy war on Russia through Ukraine doesn't look good for the German economy going forward.
No. And you know, there's only six countries that aren't members of the IMF. Do you know what those six countries are?
Tell me.
I believe Cuba, North Korea, Monaco, Taiwan, Vatican City, and East Timor, Liechtenstein.
Liechtenstein. Because Liechtenstein's where all the people store all their cash, and Monaco as well, I suppose. They don't want people to know.
Yeah, quite strange. Perhaps you wouldn't expect those countries necessarily.
They do have their own club, really, shouldn't they? Monaco, yeah. Liechtenstein, Cuba.
Like the G6.
North Korea, yeah.
The G6 like or something. That would be
interesting. Do you notice this? I know it's a bit British news, but it is kind of emblematic of catastrophic economic climate in Britain. Many breast cancer patients being left behind due to inaction on inequalities. They're saying they've done a study of 8 million women in Britain, and apparently 685,000 died from the disease. Glaring inequalities based on emotional despair, financial burden. This is a... who did the survey? I've obviously not copied that, but the Lancet Commission. Basically, if you're poor and a woman, you're much more likely to die from breast cancer. So, yeah.
Well, that's the case for a lot of things, though, isn't it, with the reports? When it comes to health, the poorer, naturally, you seem to suffer from these things more than any other class, right? So it just kind of tells us the trend of what we know.
And by poorer, those people in relative terms are getting there are more of them, as the rich are doing incredibly well.
Yeah. Wednesday? And also Tuesday as well, German Chancellor Olaf Scholz is going to be in Beijing to meet Chinese President Xi Jinping. I don't know what they're going to be talking about. Apparently, I think Scholz is going to be talking to Xi about the importance of human rights, as though China is some...
Maybe he's going to confess about Germany's record in supporting genocide in Gaza. So maybe he's going to say to Xi, I'm really sorry, and really sorry to the German Muslim population, because obviously the Chinese Muslim population in Xinjiang are so angry. I mean, all of the world is angry about the American... British genocide in Gaza, but, you know, military support to genocide. But Scholz, presumably, as you say, human rights, is going to finally confess to Xi and say, please, I beg your forgiveness. We will stop arming Israel to murder tens of thousands of children in Gaza. Do you think?
Yeah. Probably not going to happen, but it's a nice thought, isn't it? You can keep on dreaming. Wednesday.
The press will be talking instead about Scholz lecturing China about human rights, as if China is wrong on human rights.
Exactly.
Think?
It seems like a bit of a weird thing to go to China to say. But we can look out for that and see what happens there. Wednesday, if you're ready to move on there. Obviously, it's an extension of the IMF and World Bank spring meetings, as we've said. That's going to be going on all week, really. But on Wednesday, Ukraine will be holding a discussion with the IMF and World Bank, or a request, rather, I think, for more money.
They've got the most, haven't they?
What's that?
They've got the most from the IMF ever.
Yeah, well, I think they've already got the $15.6 billion loan program from the IMF to Ukraine. Though I don't believe it's all been dispersed. I think by the end of last year, only $4.5 billion, I think, so far had been dispersed. But I'm sure they're going to ask for more. It's strange, isn't it? Because I suppose the Ukraine will have to pay it back eventually. So it's going to make it bankrupt? I don't know.
Let's see, I have a little graphic here, you know. The biggest, have you seen the biggest of 2024? They do the graph. They do a kind of pictogram in a way to divide it by continental region. So you don't realize how much Ukraine gets, I think. Argentina. Argentina, of course, now with a U.S. proxy in charge, that's got a huge amount. Ukraine, Pakistan's got an enormous amount. I think Imran Khan, still in prison, has often talked against that reliance on the IMF. But he himself, before his jailing, got money out of that. Ecuador, the CIA base in the Americas, that's got a lot. Angola, Kenya, South Africa, Ghana. South Africa has a lot of IMF debt. You think they'd be putting more pressure on South Africa, the Washington IMF, to say, quieten down at the World Court about Gaza, or we'll raise your interest rates?
Yeah, it's interesting. But meanwhile, as well on Wednesday, G7 foreign ministers are going to be meeting in Capri in Italy. It's all right.
Capri.
In Capri.
You've never been.
Of all places.
It's so beautiful. It is so... I mean, I can't think of a better place as the world faces World War III, massive inequality in Europe and in those G7 countries than lording it over in Capri, where I think like a Caesar salad is about $100.
Yeah, they'll be lounging on the beach with their cocktails, just sort of very lazily discussing the world affairs around.
The whole world will look at this appalling G7 club and I think be sickened. Who's it? Remind us who's in this G7?
G7, we've got France, Germany, the UK, the US, Japan, Italy, Canada. I think the EU is also technically a part of this.
And G stands for genocide.
Genocide
7. Really?
Don't think that's what
it's
they
the anniversary Wednesday of the Bay of Pigs invasion when. The Americans designed this attempt at invading Cuba and overthrowing it.
Another was that 1962, the Bay of Pigs?
Very good. 61. I think in the Cuban Missile Crisis. But yeah, you know, it's been going on a long time, the attempts at mass killing. And Syria, recognition of independence from France. How will Syria celebrate that day in 1946? Let's see if Russia allows them to use their... missile systems to attack the U.S. bases illegally in Syria. You never hear from Antonio Guterres about that, do you? Guterres slagging off Iran for retaliating on an attack for an attack on diplomatic facilities. Have you ever heard Guterres say, what are Americans doing stealing oil from Syria? Maybe he'll make mark Syrian National Day on Wednesday by talking about that.
You just mentioned Iran National Day. That's right. Oh, I wonder if that's even going to be the day that Israel makes its attack on Iran National Army Day. It is on Wednesday.
That could be the day. It's definitely a day, I bet, that Israel will continue with its American and British weapons to bomb Syria. Britain, of course, bombed Syria and the United States. In fact, Syria was bombed, yeah, when David Cameron, Lord Cameron, the now Foreign Secretary, was in power. Lloyd Austin, 3 o'clock, he's in back in the... Congress begging for more money.
Oh, yeah. It's like we had that meeting last week, so I don't know why he's back in the US Senate to have the same request seemingly as last week, so I don't really know what that's all about. But
did you watch it last week? It was so out of his depth. This time he's with Joint Chiefs General Charles Brown Jr. I don't know whether you know about Snoopy and how Charlie Brown always misses the ball. This Pentagon 2025 budget, let's see what they do on the Hill. I suppose a lot of it will depend again on things in West Asia, because maybe congressmen will go, we've got to put more money in for killing machines. Merrick Garland, Attorney General, also at a Senate committee, Attorney General. What's he there for? Budget hearings for the Department of Justice.
Yeah, I mean, probably going to be going on till next week. It just seems like they can't seem to make the decision Don't know why they're having to have so many. But Thursday, so I've got a, well, while the G7 foreign ministers meeting will be continuing on Thursday.
Lobster. I think Thursday, I mean, just look at, you know, anyone can look online and see the 5-star hotels in Capri and just maybe write to us about what their favorite dish is that these G7 foreign ministers, whilst other elements of their government are pouring in weapons and cash to slaughter tens of thousands of people, mostly women and children in Gaza, civilians, and they're in Capri.
Living the high life.
It's disgusting. And Thursday is the anniversary of the 1946 beginning of the International Court in The Hague. Maybe this world court, so-called, will do something to stop the genocide. They don't seem to have done anything like that so far.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you forgot as well, Thursday is the G20 finance ministers meeting, which is going on in conjunction with the G7 foreign ministers meeting, not to get confused.
They're not all going to Capri. Is it virtual, the G20 one?
Well, this is still part of the IMF and World Bank meetings. But the noteworthy thing on this day is the World Bank president, Ajay Banga, is giving a press briefing, as is the IMF managing director. So I'm sure everyone will be tuning in to that to see what they have to say. It will also be the second and final day of the World Economic Summit in Washington as part of this. There'll be many politicians, economists, business leaders. I think Jeremy Hunt, the UK Chancellor, is going to be there in Washington on Thursday. It's a very economic-focused week. This week, isn't it? It seems to be the running theme.
Although, of course, with crypto falling after the crisis in West Asia, you know, everything is quite turbulent. Obviously, lots of these financiers on the side will be seeking to buying dips and gambling with the nation's money as that top 0.001% becomes richer and richer out of the instability that's happening around the world. Zimbabwe into Independence Day on Thursday. I bet the IMF won't be talking about giving money to Zimbabwe as it further aligns with the BRICS countries. And it's the 1954 anniversary of Nasser seizing power in Egypt. Look at Egypt today. Why doesn't Egypt open the Rafah crossing? I know, you know, people blame Israel for genocide, but what's Egypt doing these days?
Well, I thought we talked about Egypt the other week, did we not? Yeah. Egypt, of course, which had a part in Israel. We were hearing from El Sisi at one point a few weeks ago, weren't we, It seems to have gone quiet on that for a while.
I mean, some people are predicting revolution in Jordan for its participation in the basically supporting the Israeli genocide because it, from its space, it attacked some of these decoy drones. Why would the King of Jordan do that, King Abdullah? What? I mean, is it true he doesn't speak Arabic or he taught himself to speak Arabic because he was just knew English? Anyway, really dangerous times for the King of Jordan. I think they could take a leaf out of the UAE's book and be a bit more diplomatic in the current situation. You know, it's very... It's on tenterhooks, this region, and one has to be very clever at navigating it. Saudi Arabia, I mean, the UAE stopped not diplomatic relations, but diplomatic negotiations with Israel over the genocide and the attack in Damascus. Saudi Arabia, they're not having anything of normalization now.
Yeah, and I don't know if the Iraqi Prime Minister will be talking about any of this on Friday, which is the day he's going to be making his address.
Friday already.
Mm-hmm.
Palestine at the Security Council, Guterres briefing. I don't know whether by that
Palestine Security Council is pretty much going on every week. The Yemen, Syria.
But the Prime Minister, Hussein Amir Abdullahian of Iran, may be traveling to New York for the UN Security Council meeting this time. Oh. That's what there are rumors about Israel, presumably very dangerous because Israel is known for murdering and assassinations. That's what Israel does with American weapons. So, you know, I don't know.
We'll look out for those. But yeah, Friday, Iraqi Prime Minister al-Sudani is going to be making his address in Washington, which we've already discussed, at the Atlantic Council. I believe it will be. So that's the American thing.
Well, isn't going to be safe at the Atlantic Council, which is the main organization, that think tank funded by the CIA and so on, trying to kill some of Iraq's top people Muqtada al-Sadr and who knows who else. That doesn't sound safe.
Well, brave then, isn't it? A brave man to be doing that. It's also going to be Friday, the final report released by the UN Relief and Works Agency, which we did mention the provisional one a couple of weeks ago. And that's regarding a report that basically will state that the organization is going to be upholding the humanitarian principles. And I think it's basically to try and tell people, like, look, you know, there were these 12 UN staff members who were said to have been involved some way in the Hamas attacks on the 7th of October. But ultimately, it's like, no, like, we make sure our staff members are all doing what they should be doing. So that's what this report.
The Americans and British have withdrawn funding already, and the Americans will not be funding in Rawa, the main aid agency for Palestine, until 2025 by law, I understand.
Yeah, there are still many countries that have suspended their funding, but at least they still seem to be going. We had thought a few weeks ago, didn't we, that when they hit a certain deadline, they were going to not be able to continue anymore, but at least they still seem to be hanging in there. But of course, there is still going to be another report into the investigation on these 12 former staff members. But that report may be on Friday, or it could be over the weekend. It's still a little unclear, but as early as Friday. That will be. Do you have anything else for Friday?
Yeah, on Friday, actually, people will have been waking up to hear about Thursday's Venezuelan expiration of oil and gas. Oil and gas deal between the US and Venezuela, the license that was signed in Barbados, expires. And you clearly were not interested in the Nestle shares on Thursday. Nestle, lots of people know that company for scandals.
Well, I'm not invested in them, Afshin, so you might care because you are.
Right. You never heard of an espresso machine? Anything like that?
Nestle is like cereal bars, chocolate.
Yeah. Masses apparently blamed for increasing the rates of cancer all around the world because of the poor nutrition in their food. Nestle deny all that. They say they're a good company, a lovely company. I'm sure our those subscribers to Forecast News will tell us about what they think of Nestle. They're probably more interested in the Taiwanese semiconductor report on Thursday as well. Their shares are out. But you don't have shares in that one either. And anyway, if anything happens into Taiwan, it's going to affect all the silicon chips, and we won't be able to do this show, I think, because we need the silicon chips to do the show.
Oh, dear. So it's a very big deal then. Perhaps we didn't realize how big of a deal it was.
Friday, American Express results. So that'll show the state of the credit market to some. They make money, of course, when people don't pay off their monthly credit card.
When people get into debt, they make money.
Lots of money.
It's the way of the world.
Yeah. It was the only card that wasn't allowed in Cuba for a long time in the 1990s because it said American on it. I think they accept it too now. And the UK sovereign death.
King Charles is not.
Yeah, King Charles dies on Friday. No, sovereign wealth, you know, that kind of thing. Standard & Poor's, a rating agency, highly discredited by its poor forecasting for the 2007-2008 economic crisis and so on, completely failed to forecast the indebtedness and cataclysmic insecurity of British institutions. They rate Britain. It might go down, it might go up. It depends on how much Britain is paying S&P, cynics might say. We'll have to see whether Britain's sovereign debt is reduced, the rating is reduced, which will be quite something, I think, and show Britain's decline as a country in the world.
Yes, economically and in many other ways, arguably. I want to move on to Saturday.
Wait, before Saturday, the Brixton Academy, while you trash Britain, reopens. One of the great music venues of the world, I would say, the Brixton Academy. Do you never went there?
I don't think so. Did you?
It was closed after some incident, but you know, everyone's played there. People can look it up. And of course, there's Indian general election. Some kind of voting in the largest democracy in the world.
Some kind of voting. I'm not sure what kind.
In the parliament. For five-year terms, seven phases, April the 19th, April the 26th, May the 7th, 13th, 20th, 25th, June the 1st. I'm really not sure how the Indian election...
Well, I'm going to keep up with...
Can you imagine a Western European country having to vote on these different tranched ways? I don't think anyone would understand how to do it. Anyway, looks like Modi's BJP, very dangerous path being plotted by Modi. renewing Pentagon agreements, being very silent on the genocide in Gaza, his MPs, many of them saying, let's have a war with China. Tricky.
Well, speaking of Gaza, Saturday, if I can move on to Saturday, US Ambassador to the UN, Linda Thomas-Greenfield, is visiting South Korea and Japan.
Isn't she be in New York?
Should she be in New York? Well, that's neither here nor there, because she's not going to be in New York. But she, of course, is the woman who, on the latest binding UN Security Council resolution demanding a ceasefire in Gaza, said it was non-binding, and said there's no impact at all on Israel's ability to continue to go after Hamas because she says it's non-binding. I'll add South Korea also shares the same view on that, so maybe that's why she's going there, to hone in on the anti-UN resolution on the Gaza ceasefire. Quite something.
I think this trip, Linda Thomas-Greenfield, you know, every UN ambassador, from the, every US ambassador to the UN is disgraced, clearly. I mean, John Bolton, who's that woman who tried to be president who dropped out of the race? Who's that woman? I don't want to remember her. Complete, you know, hawk.
She's already a has-been. So.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Linda Thomas-Greenfield and the pictures of her putting her hand up to veto ceasefire resolutions as so many children were being slaughtered. And the whole world was looking at this woman as a pariah. I mean, she, I don't think her life will be safe ever in the Arab world after her hand went up vetoing a resolution. And yet she feels safe in Japan and South Korea. It doesn't look good for South Korea and Japan that they are hosting the US ambassador to the UN, known for supporting genocide. And of course, eventually the world court may do her for co-conspirator in genocide. Is the 1945 Saturday, Adolf Hitler makes his last trip to the surface to award Iron Crosses to boy soldiers of the Hitler Youth. 1945, and then we never saw him again.
Surface is in from his bunker,
I suppose. And because Hitler's insignia worn on the uniforms paid by Germany, the United States, France, Britain, NATO countries, the G7, holidaying in Capri this week as they continue the proxy war in Russia through Ukraine. I don't know what advances Russia is going to make into Ukraine this week. Could it be? It's slow, isn't it? It's the war of attrition.
Yeah.
It won't take Odessa to this week.
Yeah, well, as we discussed the other week, absolutely the war of attrition. On Sunday, I'd like to finish.
Wait. Saturday is Bitcoin halving day. When the Bitcoin
miners get half as much,
or when they get back, it's like a big day. It's going to be huge.
Okay, so you're going to be following that, I'm sure.
I think a lot of the world will be. You know, I think the cleaners in my apartment block here, they all lost money over the West Asia retaliatory strikes as cryptocurrency fell. Why? Do you want to talk about World Circus Day instead on Saturday?
No. Well, on Sunday, what I'm going to be looking at, Afshin, is your favourite country, the Maldives in South Asia, has its parliamentary elections. I'm sure you probably know all about it.
Absolutely. They're allied to BRICS. They're coming forward. Expect lots of anti-Maldives propaganda in NATO nation media because they're trying to say, well, they're getting closer to China and Russia and all this, so don't go to the Maldives. I think anyone who's been there will know.
Course, I don't know how many people remember. I mean, it's not a presidential election, it's a parliamentary election. But if you remember the one of the last presidents who resigned in 2012 and was sentenced to 13 years in prison over terrorism charges, wasn't he? Though he ended up going to the UK to become a political refugee, and then he since came back and was House Speaker in the Maldives. So there's a lot of little controversy there that I think many people perhaps wouldn't know about, and certainly is perhaps not going to be discussed.
Albeit, of course, foreigners who go to the Maldives don't go to the main island, Malé, where the parliament is. They go to all these island hotels where the owner of that hotel is de facto the prime minister, because they're kind of self-contained. No parliamentary elections on those hotel islands, alas. Maybe they could think of doing that. It's also on Sunday, the anniversary of the death. Oh my God.
Death.
the death of Nina Simone in 2003, Nina Simone, and it's the birthday, I think, of Iggy Pop in 1947. Strange.
You want to just tell us who
2016, Prince's death. It's a very musical Sunday, but of course, Nina Simone, such an inspiration to this day for people who support the liberation of working classes all around the world still.
Oh, so a death of musical Sunday then, really. Death and birth.
Certainly, Paul.
Life and death. Well, I think we better leave it there unless you've got something else.
Ecuador referendum on security measures, very controversial. The CIA will be hugely important there as Ecuador hosts the CIA base, now known more for that than, I think there was a Charles Darwin anniversary I missed this week, but Ecuador has the turtles, of course, and the Galapagos Islands, don't they belong there? You know, the security measures are going to turn Ecuador even more into a police state under President Daniel Noboa, arguably. And this is where you're going to go, isn't it? That's why you're not doing it again. Perugia, Italy. Not as good as Capri, but still as beautiful. The International Journalism Festival. The Washington Post's Jason Rezaian, never heard of him. The Nobel laureate Maria Ressa, never heard of her. All these journalists are going to the International Journalism Festival. They're propagandists. They support NATO. They de facto support genocide. They support the proxy war on Syria, through Syria, through Ukraine. Are you going?
So, well, to be clear, I won't be seeing you there, obviously, so.
I wasn't invited. That's why I'm just being antsy because, you know, clearly I'm just.
You didn't get the invite.
Yeah. You know, if I was a member of that little club, I'd be there supporting it. But.
Well, I'll bring you a gift bag.
So you are going.
I couldn't possibly tell you.
What do they do? A mind control thing in your brain, or do you? They don't need it, do they? These so-called journalists—they just do whatever they're told. Just as after the attack in West Asia, they just went, "Ah, the Iranian attack was a failure." That's what we heard.
Yeah.
Ah, the Israel did not admit to the attack on the consulate in Damascus. Therefore, it's said to be Israel. Interesting. Yeah.
Well, I'll let you know what they all say. I'm not going, just to be clear.
If you're watching in Israel and want to meet up with Millie, I'm sure the cafes around Dimona and the nuclear weapons industry in Israel, you know, just say hi and have a cup of coffee with her. No?
You'll never find me. But we better leave it there for today. But thank you so much for watching or listening. We appreciate all of your support. And do subscribe. Like and comment if you're watching on YouTube. You can also find us on Rumble, X, TikTok, Spotify, pretty much every platform we're on there. So please go and follow us on all of our social media. Any final words, Afshin, as we part ways for a
few? Yeah, definitely subscribe. And we might be doing an update during the week. This might not be the end if there is retaliation from Israel, clearly. Yeah. So, watch out.
If you go to our X, you'll be able to follow any updates. So if you follow us on over there, then you'll be able to see any things that maybe we've missed in the week, and we'll do a few bonus points there. So
obviously, that if we do that, it'll be a forecast of what happens after the Israeli retaliation. Hopefully, though, I think both Millie and I want peace in this region, and hope it's going to quieten down so that the endangering of civilians is not prolonged. And of course, we hope there'll be an end to the US, UK, EU bombing of Yemen, Syria, Iraq, Lebanon.
Yeah, and hopefully when we're back, we can bring progress. But until then, I say, go ahead and look at all of our social media, and we'll still be on there. But for now, goodbye.
You're going to Capri, aren't you? Bye.